grasping, we'll overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
There's no doubt that you've heard about the shooting down in Charleston, South Carolina. Everyone is talking about it. I haven't really had an opportunity to listen to a whole lot of that discussion, unfortunately. My schedule has just been prohibitive this week. However, I'm certainly aware of it. I, like you, am grieved for the people of Charleston. We actually broadcast from upstate South Carolina. We're about 225 miles away. I used to live in Charleston, went to school there for 4 years, and we're there frequently, which has nothing to do with anything other than this hits close to home for us, and we're grieved for the folk in Charleston, the folk who are suffering, particularly the folk connected to Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, where 9 people, including some ministers and others, were gunned down without mercy on Wednesday night. It's an awful, awful tragedy. We can't say any more than that. That's what it is. It was a despicable act of evil. It's an awful tragedy. And our hearts are grieved for the folk there especially. And, of course, our hearts break for folk anywhere who are suffering. And, unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and evil manifests itself in different ways. Murder and mass murder is certainly one of those ways. We're going to talk a little bit about this incident, and we've got a number of items to touch on today from, you know, a biblical perspective, and that's why we're here. We're here to talk about the things that are going on in our world, whether it's current events, whether it's theological trends, our culture in general. We want to talk about it all from a biblical perspective and try to bring the gospel to bear, because we know it's the gospel that overcomes. Got the A-team with me today. My wife Mary is in the studio, and she's going to help me talk about this as well. Thanks for being with me.
Yes, I'm glad to be here, and certainly everyone is praying for all those affected by this, that's why everybody's talking about it. I know you were talking about you're busy in the summer. There's a whole group of people that know Paul as Pastor Dean, but in the summertime, a big group of people know Paul as Coach Dean, because he coaches swimming. And those who got the Greenville Journal, his picture is there this week, cheering with a bunch of kids. But even this morning with our swim group, a couple of small kids brought up and are talking. Even the children are talking about this, and this has affected them. And you know, we were just were saying that, hey, let's just pray for these people.
Yeah.
And you know, they want to know, what can we do?
That's right.
What to think about it.
Right, and not to just repeat what you said, but, you know, in the midst of what's supposed to be fun for these kids in the morning, early, we're out there at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., what's supposed to be fun for these kids, it's on their minds,
tragedy. That's right, because they're concerned.
Yeah.
What about me in churches?
So, right, and that's an issue. What we thought we'd do today, I mean, you could take any angle on this and talk about it for hours, but we're going to try to do a list of things, the Dean's List.
Yes.
So we've got a list, and we're going to have to hit them quickly today. I think we've got 6 items on the list today. And obviously, the first item is racism. You got to talk about that. It was racially motivated. I mean, you know, the shooter, Dylan Roof, you know, he made statements, you know, to that effect as he was carrying out this evil act, that he certainly had hatred in his heart, unfortunately, for African Americans. And others were quoted or cited as saying that he was trying to instigate some kind of uprising or race war or segregation or whatever the case may be. And so racism is certainly on the table. Now, obviously, from a Christian perspective, from a true perspective, We're going to say some things that everybody says, okay, well, you know, tell me something new. Well, we are going to tell you something new. I think we try to, you know, say some things on the broadcast, not merely for you know, the sake of being different, but I think we need to think things through biblically, and so that means we're going to say some things that maybe not everyone is saying. But obviously there's some things we're going to say everyone is saying, and racism is rooted in a sinful heart. Of course, our culture at large, a lot of them wouldn't even acknowledge the notion of sin or the concept of sin.
Oh, yeah,
they would acknowledge this is a terrible, terrible act, but they wouldn't attribute it to sin in the human heart.
That's right. You know, they would just attribute to racism. But you know, when you think about it, racism, that is a problem and things go on. But so many things go on in the human heart. We're all biased and on all kind of issues, you know, whether we don't want to drive a black car versus a white car. We all have choices and thoughts, and some of those that come down to are very sinful. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts and our choices, like we don't want to be here because this type of person makes me feel uncomfortable or whatever, but we all have biases, and things that are the root of it is sin.
Yeah, you were saying the other day, you were reading something, I forget what the topic was, but they had quoted John Calvin, and it's not that we agree, you know, with John Calvin on everything, but he's a pretty sharp theologian, and he said something about our hearts.
That our hearts are just idol factories. That was actually on R.C. Sproul's show, I heard.
Oh,
earlier
right?
This week, yes. So.
Right here on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9
our
FM.
Our hearts are idol factories.
Yeah, that's right.
That is true.
The mornings,
they are.
By the way.
Yeah, and go ahead.
No. I was just putting in a plug for renewing the mind.
And that's what we're trying to do. You think. Let's think. That's if anybody, I do have a Twitter account. I'm not going to tell everybody what it is, but my picture on there is a bumper sticker that says the other national deficit is critical thinking.
That's right.
People don't think.
No, so. That's true. And critical thinking, not criticizing things, but giving critical analysis, not just taking things at face value.
That's
or
right.
Floating down the stream of life. We're calling on God's people everywhere to think and to think biblically.
That's right. And some of their thoughts, and what I didn't get to is that some people may have racist thoughts and they don't even realize that.
Yeah.
And that is sin.
That's true. So. We live in a culture that's certainly affected by, you know, obviously human sin, everyone in the world, everyone in the history of the world. But you know, there are things that exacerbate sin in the human heart, just as you know, we're talking about this issue of racism. On the one hand, I think racism, a lot of people say, where does racism come from? Well, it comes from the human heart. But it can be exacerbated. It can be stirred up. It can be promoted and proliferated, and sometimes through very overt ways, and sometimes through very subtle ways or ways that, you know, consequences are unintended. But I'm just trying to get us to think a little bit here. You know, if you think about it, power, you know, look at the history of the United States, slavery. Those who had power enslaved those who did not. And when you feel free to enslave another, well, you don't have a biblical worldview. You have an evolutionary worldview. Might makes right. Survival of the fittest. You have a relativistic worldview. It's interesting that the evolutionary worldview and relativistic worldview are synonymous in so many outlooks, because both of those worldviews deny the reality of God. And you deny the reality of God, and you by necessity
deny that people are equal.
Are equal.
Or God has
right.
Under the cross.
Right. And you started to say it. You deny that people are created.
That's
and created
right.
In
the image of God.
Yeah. And so you deny their equality. And then, of course, in our own history, we had forced segregation in lots of places. And so this is government exacerbating the problem. And so, you know, we've solved some of those problems, certainly not completely, but to a certain extent. We don't have slavery anymore. We've got a Civil Rights Act, you know, those kinds of things. But yet we still have people, race baiters, people it seems that are trying to stir up racial strife within our nation. And so that exacerbates racism. And it does it on both sides, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, both sides. And you also have this fellow who is admitted that he was trying to stir up
That's right.
the country on this issue and causing problems far greater than him coming in and killing the people he killed.
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to stir it up. Others try to stir it up for political reasons. And again, it's all rooted in sin. It's all rooted in hatred. Evil. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. But and again, we have to bring it back to this. Racist, regardless of these exacerbating or factors or extenuating circumstances, we have to, again, come back and say racists are responsible for their own evil. And according to the scriptures, they must repent.
That's correct.
Yeah. One other thing. What about the church? What's our responsibility in terms of race relations?
Is to preach that we're all created in the image of God, and
that's
we
right.
are all, God has created each of us differently. We all look different. We all have different things, aspects about our life and character that it brings God's glory to display.
That's it. And see, race relations is a gospel issue. The gospel breaks down
the barriers.
All barriers, that's right. All
of course, we've only gone through one on your list of
six. I know,
we've
got to move on. We're all
created. That's one of the reasons I'm here, to help you move on.
You are.
Get down the list.
Let's go down the list. We're all created in the image of God. The gospel breaks down the barriers. That's the first item on the list, racism. We're talking about the shooting in Charleston. Look, second item. Seems that mass shootings are a whole lot more prolific in our culture than they used to be. Doesn't just seem like it. They are. In fact, you were telling me earlier, and again, we're not blaming President Obama. This is just a way to count time. We've had how many?
I think it was 14.
Yeah, 14 mass shootings.
Yes.
Since President Obama has taken office.
And we can think of others prior to that.
Oh, sure. Columbine.
So it's been on the increase. Yes.
Yeah, Columbine was before that. I think Virginia Tech. My memory, it gets foggy. But all we're saying is that mass shootings are now part and parcel of our culture. You know, when Columbine, that was, the first that I remember. Not that there hadn't been mass shootings before, but in terms of, something that gripped the national consciousness and the national conscience, and it was on the news and all this. Well, it's sort of a regular deal now. And, of course, people try to explain why. The go-to reasons, guns. Well, that's not the reason. I mean, mental health. People are mentally unstable. Well, these might be contributing factors. Mental health. It's not the reason. The violent entertainment, again, an exacerbating factor. Breakdown of the family, exacerbating factor. Not really the reason. What's the reason?
Human sin.
Well, it's human sin. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side of the break. And we'll try to hit all these other items on the Dean's List.
Our society has always benefited from an honest debate about vital issues. However much people differed in their opinions, open discussion was welcome and necessary. But on the next edition of Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street and guest Fox News' Kirsten Powers discuss the silencing being imposed by a very illiberal left, as brought to light in her latest book, The Silencing. Plan now to be here for Breakpoint This Week.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Father's Day wasn't celebrated when King Solomon ruled ancient Israel. But as we celebrate Father's Day, listen to what King Solomon had to say to his children.
Keep these words in your heart. Know my love and keep the commandments of God so that you shall really live.
Good advice that we don't always follow. But God's always ready to forgive us when we turn back to Him. Jesus reminded us of that when he told the story of a father and his prodigal son.
Having squandered his inheritance, the young man returned to his father's house ashamed, saying, "Father, I failed you. I'm not worthy to be called your son." But his father ran and embraced him, saying, "My boy was lost, but now he's found."
Your heavenly Father loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for your sins so you could live with him forever. That's a love worth celebrating this Father's Day. Learn more at BillyGraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. BillyGraham.org.
Hi, Alex McFarland, Jason Jimenez here, inviting you to Truth for a New Generation, the conference on apologetics and evangelism, live in person. Hear Lee Strobel, Dr. Alveda King, the Benham Brothers, David and Jason, and evangelist Will Graham. Don't miss Truth for a New Generation.
That's right, Alex. This year's theme is Jesus, America's Hope. You don't want to miss it. September 18th and 19th at First Baptist Spartanburg. Go to truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archive broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
Well, we're praying for the folk down in Charleston, South Carolina, and then in particular the folk at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in the aftermath of this tragic shooting just a couple of days ago. Dylan Roof, the perpetrator, of course, he's a suspect, but, you know, by all accounts, he's the one. They've got the right guy. But just an act of evil. And, you know, one of the things we're talking about, Mary, before the break, was that these mass shootings are occurring far more frequently in our culture now on a regular basis. And again, folk point to a lot of reasons. You know, guns. Well, you know, if you're going to hurt somebody, you don't have to have a gun, right? Yeah. You're just going to hurt somebody. Mental health. Well, not everybody who has mental health issues, you know, just goes on a shooting spree. Violent entertainment. Well, not everybody who's involved in violent entertainment goes on a shooting spree. Although, I do think things like violent entertainment can be a contributing factor. I think, you know, if someone's unstable mentally, that can obviously be a contributing factor. The breakdown of the family, that can be a contributing factor. There's another contributing factor. In just about all of these mass shootings, we find that the individual has been on psychotropic medication.
That is true. And in fact, I was sitting here thinking while you were talking that we know personally two families that who their own, well, it's a young couple, but their own family members have taken their own lives as a result of that, mm-hmm. being on medications or either just coming off medications. And so we find that concerning.
Yes, very much so. Obviously, we've talked about this on the show before, and so we won't go down this road very far, but it seems to me when you come to the scriptures, there are two kinds of problems that people have. There are physiological problems, cancer, heart disease, etc., brain tumor, head injury, and then there are spiritual problems. And so I don't think there's a third set of problems called psychological problems. I don't think we need psychologists. I think we need biblical ministers and biblical counselors and biblical counseling. The Word of God is sufficient. Peter tells us that in the Word of God we have everything we need
for
life and godliness. That's right. And so when folk have problems, you know, they need to learn to deal with the problems at the heart level, at the spiritual level.
Yes. And I know there are a lot of people out there would disagree with the statement
Sure.
that you just said.
Sure.
But what you see is, for example, my mother, if she's listening, I hope she turned on the radio there. But, you know, there right after my father passed away, it was two doctors that I went with her to doctors wanted to put her on depression medication,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, my husband just passed away.
Right.
I am down, yes,
she's
but it's
grieving.
Not in grieving,
that's
but it's
normal.
Not something I want to put my, you know, I want to put my subject myself to a medication.
Right.
I need to go through this process, and she, you know, chose to deal with it on her own. But as far as my perspective, that's all it was grief. And
right.
we have lots of cases where they are just prescribing medication
right.
very easily.
Right. And quickly.
To solve the problem other issues, other things could be used.
Well, that's right. You're masking or putting a Band-Aid. You're not dealing with the real issue. And just to be, you know, clear and brief, we're not saying there's no such thing as depression.
That's right.
People
that's
misinterpret
right. yes,
me.
There, yes.
Of course there's such thing as depression. We're not saying you're weak if you're depressed. All we're saying is, according to the scriptures, typically depression is a matter of not thinking biblically, and so what we have to do is fight to think biblically. It's not necessarily easy. You can take medication and you can, you know, even yourself out, but you're not dealing with the heart issue.
And, and a lot of people might know your doctorate is in counseling. And so we have a counseling center at our church. And a lot of people that come, they'll give testimony that these medications actually just make you feel detached. And
a lot of them.
A lot of them do. And people that we've counseled that even have actually been able to come off of medication, but they'll say it kind of makes you feel detached. And you can see where somebody might ordinarily might not go in and mass shoot somebody, but you remove the conscience that God gives us, because that's what we're dealing with in the counseling room. You can see how it may be easier for them to perpetrate such an act. Now, we're not saying this fella, it appears that people talking to his friends or whatever, they've talked to all kind of people trying to get at the bottom of the story, and they say that he's had been on all kind of
illicit
drugs.
Illegal drugs.
And
that'll
some
mess up your brain.
But yes, and that does change your brain chemistry. So just be careful. That's our warning on that.
And psychotropic medication changes your brain chemistry.
And we've had experience seeing that. So just be careful, be wise, and think.
That's exactly right. But again, let's go back to the real reason, then we got to move on. We got some other items on the list.
Yes, you do.
Yes. I mean, this hatred in the human heart. And then, again, people talk about, well, some of these folk, they've got hatred. They were isolated. They had a sense of powerlessness. Well, you know what? All they're describing is what the Bible describes as the human condition. We have a sense of alienation from God, because we are. And that leads to a sense of alienation from others, a sense of alienation from all kinds of things. And if you push that far enough, and then, you know, you have a hatred of people and a sense of powerlessness, because we are powerless on our own to solve our spiritual problems, well, the only thing that's going to solve that is the gospel. It is a sin issue. And we have an entire culture now where the Christian worldview, you know, if you go back 100 years, let's just pull that out of the air, not that everyone was a Christian, not that everyone thought biblically all the time, but you had a Christian worldview, more or less, that permeated culture, and now you don't. And this is the result. When there's no Christian worldview to hold it together, it is going to come apart at the seams, and that's why we have more mass shootings than we've ever had, and that's why we're going to have more and more and more and more and more. It is inevitable.
But there's hope in the gospel. Wow.
That's right.
I don't know what else to say, but you're right. No. Without the Christian worldview, our culture is falling apart, and we do see it all over the place.
That's right.
You know, just talking with, in the counseling room, families that are you know, divorces that take place, and the people that get in a bad situation and have to go on, they go on government support, but then the next generation stays on that government support, and you may have in one household, three or four generations that they have never known how to a real work Christian work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
That we must, you know, those who won't work won't eat. So there's all kind of things that go on.
That's it.
So
hate to say it, and we're trying to be respectful as well, because there are real people involved and they're hurting. But we're trying to bring, again, some biblical perspective as well, maybe some things that not everyone's talking about today. Issue number three, hate crimes legislation. I'm sure some folk are talking about that. I don't know. But, you know, they're calling it a hate crime. Well, it's a very real sense, you know, I mean, we would say whenever you murder someone, you hate them.
Yes.
And all I want to say here is that, you know, people do hate. Everybody hates. You said that.
That's right.
To a certain degree. We don't want to admit it. I mean, I'm not a racist. The gospel overcomes, breaks down the barriers. Above all people, the least racist people on earth should be Christians. But you know what? If I'm going to be honest with myself, and if I'm going to be honest with the scriptures, and if you're going to be honest, and everybody listening to my voice, you're going to say, well, you know what? Sometimes I do have prejudicial thoughts in my heart. If you say you don't, you're a liar. You're just a liar. I don't say that in love. But the point I'm making is, you can't, in a civil society, you can't punish people for what they think, what they believe, whether they hate or not.
And we're going down a dangerous road when we do that. Oddly, I'm sure they've talked about it here today, but, you know, South Carolina is just one of five states that don't have their own hate crime legislation.
Hmm.
The closest thing they have to anything that's a hate crime type legislation is that you get, I think, 6 months in prison if you commit a defacing or doing something on a place of worship, oddly mm-hmm. enough. But
what do you get if you deface an office building?
I guess it's a little tougher.
Are you
if it's
saying,
a church, a
are you
worship
saying if
building.
You do a church or a worship,
a
worship
center of worship, that's in the scripture,
you get a stiffer
yes.
penalty.
Yes.
Wow. See, I disagree with that.
Yes, I
know disagree
you do,
with
yes.
that. It ought to be the same. That's my point. Even yes. though I'm a pastor, you can't make special sense. Oh well, he killed these people because they're black or because they're gay. Now we're going to make the penalty stiffer. You can't do that. Okay, because what's coming? Well, we're going to, you know, if you say that homosexuality is wrong, and all of a sudden you're a hater. Anyway, we need to punish people for actions, not for thoughts. Those are two different things. Anyway, and by the way, it's the government that's going to define hatred. See, that's the problem.
Yeah, so you just, got
to
be careful.
Yeah, issue number four. In fact, let's skip to five and come back to number four just for the sake of time. Church security. Should churches be more concerned now? Should they have security guards?
Well, I mean, being a mom, there's a lot of our security measures that have already are taking place in many churches
sure.
where as far as children are concerned, you know, having background checks and things such as that before you can work with children or participate as a volunteer with children. In fact, an organization my daughter's involved in, everyone who volunteers has to have a background check. So that's
where?
Some measure of
where?
In her schooling
okay.
co-op.
I was thinking about something else, and I okay. heard you talking about that. But anyway,
But anyway, that is some measure of protection.
You probably don't know this. I'm against background checks.
I know.
For church members.
I know you are.
Working in the church. That's
okay.
a totally different issue okay. on my radar. But go ahead. Finish
okay.
your thought.
But anyway, but that's some measures that they're putting in. But also, I remember a church you were at, because somebody had come toward the front at one time. You weren't the pastor at the time, but after that incident, the deacons got together, and every week they had someone in charge
yes.
of being aware and ready to act. I think your father
yeah.
actually had to help with that
well,
issue
I did
that
too.
Time. Okay.
I don't know why they picked me. I could see why they might pick me now, because I'm like 230 pounds, even though I don't look like a muscle boy. I've got some bulk.
Yes.
Back then, I weighed 150, and anyway, I don't know. But I guess it's because my dad, you know, he was pretty tough. So maybe, you know, I was like...
Anyway, but
I
yes,
was like,
that's probably a good idea to enact.
Yeah, I was his
measures.
Sidekick. Anyhow, no, I agree. You know, a lot of times, you know, I told Gary, you know, my knee-jerk reaction is, no, we don't need security guards in churches because, you know, we're peacemakers, mm-hmm. nonviolence, turn the other cheek, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But... You know, if I'm preaching the gospel and someone wants to shoot me because I'm preaching the gospel and, you know, they want me to deny the faith, I'm not going to deny the faith. Go ahead and shoot me. On the other hand, self-defense is a biblical right. You know, we should defend ourselves and others. And so I think it's wise. Maybe not openly, but you got to have some folk there who are aware, as you say. Well, a couple of items we didn't get to. Big issues. We'll talk more about it, more about other things, next time on The Dean's List.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.